let's take a closer look at astrology as it relates to the tarot. Now, astrology and tarot are two separate fields of study, but many people are interested in both. My initial interest was in numerology and tarot. Back when I was about 15 or 16, I became interested in both of them first. Later on, I became interested in astrology, but I realized how they all tie together. There was a famous psychoanalyst, Carl Gustav Jung, spelled J-U-N-G, and Jung, as a student of Sigmund Freud, the also famous psychoanalyst, developed the idea of archetypes of the subconscious mind. The tarot, as I said at the beginning of this program, allows us to tap into these images or these symbols, but Jung looked at them as archetypal images, which means that they are essential human interactions and feelings and images that we all relate to, but they're summed up in a picture. Just like in astrology, we have, for example, Sagittarius, the archer. We have Libra, which is justice with the balance. We have Aries, the ram. Symbols. So there's a strong correlation between astrology and the tarot. Some people who study the tarot like to assign compass directions to the tarot. We've already talked about seasons associated with the tarot, but what about compass directions? Well, I want to give these to you just in case you find them handy. Swords correspond to west, and remember the element is air, and the season is fall because Libra begins in the fall. Wands correspond to east. The direction would be east. The element is fire, and the sign, as you'll recall, is Aries, because that begins in the spring. Pentacles correspond to the south. The element is earth, and the sign is Capricorn, which begins in the winter. Cups correspond to the north. The element is water, and the season is the summer, because, as I've said, Cancer ushers in the summer. If you happen to be interested in astrology, and you want to further that study, I'm going to offer the following information for you. I want to share with you the numbers of the cards, the numbers that correlate with the cards, then the card itself, then the astrological association. I'm going to pause between each of these in case you want to write them down. The number zero corresponds to the Fool, and that is Uranus, or commonly called Uranus these days, but we still know where the planet is. The number one corresponds to the Magician, and also Mercury. The number two corresponds to the High Priestess and the Moon. The number three corresponds to the Empress and Venus. The number four corresponds to the Emperor, or Aries. The number five corresponds to the Hierophant, or Taurus. The number six, the Lovers, or Gemini. The number seven, the Chariot, or Cancer. The number eight, Strength, or Leo. The number nine, the Hermit, or Virgo. The number 10, the Wheel of Fortune, or Jupiter. The number 11, Justice, or Libra. The number 12, the Hanged Man, or Neptune. The number 13, Death, or Scorpio. The number 14, Temperance, or Sagittarius. The number 15, the Devil, or Capricorn. The number 16, the Tower, or Mars. The number 17, the Star, or Aquarius. The number 18, the moon, or Pisces. The number 19, the sun, or the sun. It's both a card and an astrological association. The sun has its own card. The number 20, judgment, or Pluto. The number 21, the world, or Saturn. There are also popular astrological associations related to the pip cards that I think you might find interesting. As time progresses, different people and different groups have their say-so when it comes to tarot and other bodies of knowledge, such as numerology or astrology. One of the groups that had an influence on tarot was called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and they came up with a list, which I think you might find interesting, that I'm going to share with you. And the list corresponds to the cups, swords, pentacles, and wands, and talks about the numbers in each and what they would relate to. So let's begin. This is just going to be a list that you can write down if you want to, and you can use it if you find it helpful. A handy reference chart, if you will. With cups, the one or the ace, according to the Golden Dawn, corresponds to the root of water. The number two corresponds to Venus or Cancer. The number three corresponds to Mercury or Cancer. Now we're talking about cups here. This is all cups. So the number three of cups corresponds to Mercury or Cancer. The number four of cups, the moon or Cancer. The number five of cups, Mars or Scorpio. The number six of cups, the sun or Scorpio. The number seven of cups, Venus or Scorpio. The number eight of cups, Saturn or Pisces. The number nine of cups, Jupiter or Pisces. In swords, according to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, the one or the ace corresponds to the root of air. The two corresponds to the moon or Libra. Three corresponds to Saturn or Libra. Four corresponds to Jupiter or Libra. Five of swords corresponds to Venus or Aquarius. Six of swords corresponds to Mercury or Aquarius. Seven of swords corresponds to the moon or Aquarius. Eight of swords corresponds to Jupiter or Gemini. Nine of swords corresponds to Mars or Gemini. In pentacles, the ace or one corresponds to the root of earth. Remember, pentacles represent earth signs. The number two corresponds to Jupiter or Capricorn. The number three of pentacles corresponds to Mars or Capricorn. The number four of pentacles corresponds to the sun or Capricorn. The number five of pentacles corresponds to Mercury or Taurus. The number six of pentacles corresponds to the moon or Taurus. The number seven of pentacles corresponds to Saturn or Taurus. The number eight of pentacles corresponds to the sun or Virgo. And number nine corresponds to Venus or Virgo. In wands, the number one or the ace corresponds to the root of fire. Remember, wands are fire signs. The number 2 of Wands corresponds to Mars or Aries. The number 3, the Sun or Aries. The number 4, Venus or Aries. The number 5, Saturn or Leo. The number 6, Jupiter or Leo. The number 7, Mars or Leo. The number 8, Mercury or Sagittarius. The number 9, the Moon or Sagittarius. Now remember how we talked about the life path number? I want you to realize that you can use this number when interpreting the tarot. So when you have your life path number, you have a very powerful tool. Let's take your life path number and put it to use in determining your personal year number. Determining your personal year number is different than determining your life path number. Your life path number is the addition of all of the numbers in the year that you were born, day, month, year, reduced all the way down to a single number, either 1 through 9 or 11 or 22. The personal year number comes from just taking your birthday on this year. So for example, if I wanted to figure out my personal year number when I was 5 years old, what would that look like? Well, when I was 5 years old, it was 1972. And so I was born November 27th, and then the year was 1972. Not the year I was born, but the year that I'm analyzing, because I want to find out my personal year number when I was 5 years old. 11/27/1972. So we have an 11, that's a master number, doesn't reduce. 27 is 2 plus 7, that's a 9, same as our previous calculations for my birthday. 1972 is 1 plus 9 plus 7 plus 2. 1 plus 9 is 10, plus 7, 17, plus 2 is 19. We have a 19 now. 1 plus 9 is 10. We have a 1 and a 0. 1 plus 0 is 1. You may want to go back and listen to that again if that was a little fast. But my understanding is you already know how to calculate this because we went through the description of life path. But if you want to listen to this again, feel free. So we have an 11, a 9. 11 was the month of my birth, 11. 9 from the 2 plus 7. And a 1 from 1972. So even though we have a master number in there, we can now start reducing a little. We can now start adding. 11 plus 9 is 20, plus 1 is 21. In the 21, the 2 plus the 1 is 3. So my personal year when I was 5 years old was 3. That means I was interested in having fun and enjoying myself and expressing myself. That's a great time to have a number 3 energy. But you can figure out your personal year. That's going to help when you're reading tarot for people. Finding out their personal year is going to be helpful because you're going to know the energy that surrounds them in that particular year, the year in which you are looking at, the year that they come to you. So numbers can be very significant in tarot, as can astrology. All right, here we are at the end of the program. You have learned a lot of information. Now, not only have you learned what I have said, but you have learned what you have thought. Think about it. All of the things that I've said should have triggered ideas and thoughts in your mind. While those things were coming up, hopefully you were capturing them somehow, but if not, that's okay. We're going to take care of that right now. I want you to think about the entire program, everything I've said, and I want you to put down 5 points that relate to the program, either things that I said or things that came to you. 5 new points that you haven't written down yet that came to you during the course of listening to this program. Write them down. They could be things to do. They could be random thoughts. They could be thoughts about yourself, thoughts about others. It doesn't matter. Just 5 things that came to you while I was talking during this program. 5 points. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. All right, you've got your 5 points now. Great. Now I want you to elaborate on them. Take point number 1 and fill it in. Write something about it. Write a game plan. If it's something you're going to do, if it's something about yourself, go ahead and elaborate on that. If it's something about somebody else, go ahead and elaborate on that. Whatever it is, fill it in. I don't want you just to have a word there or a couple words. I want you to explain what that idea was. Develop that idea so you can use it later. Do this now as I am silent for point number one. Good. Now the same thing for point number two. Develop it. Write something about it. Do this now. Good. Now point number three. Go ahead and develop point number three. Bring it along. Develop point number three to the point in writing where you can look at it later and say, oh, that's what I was thinking about. That was my idea with point number three. So it's not just a word or a couple words. It's now going to be a definition or an explanation or a game plan for point number three. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, now take point number four, and I want you to elaborate on that as well. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, last but not least, point number five, the final point in this program. What really struck you? What came to you while you're listening to this program? Write something about point number five. You've already got point number five written down. Now elaborate on it now as I am silent. All right. Outstanding work. All right. You've got a lot of information in your mind now. A lot of information that's come to you. A lot of information you've heard from me. There's a lot going on in your mind. Why don't we take a moment now? Make sure you're not driving during this. If you're driving, don't listen to this part. Do this part later. But if you're not driving, what I want you to do is close your eyes and let all those thoughts come to you. All those thoughts that are floating around in your head. Let them come to you now. And I want you to start seeing them become organized. And I want you to start seeing them happening in your life. I want you to see them playing themselves out in your life somehow. All these ideas you have, I want you to find a place for them in your mind, whether in terms of a plan, or in terms of changing something about yourself immediately, or in terms of, it could even be a vacation you're thinking of taking. But those ideas that are coming to you now, as a result of listening to this material, what I want you to do with them right now, I don't want you to write anything right now. I don't want you to overthink anything. I just want you to close your eyes, as long as you're not driving. I want you to close your eyes. And as I'm silent, just use your imagination and let your imagination run wild. See where these ideas will take you. Let these ideas float around in your mind as I'm silent and really let them play out. Just let them go wild in your mind. See where they take you. As I'm silent, do this now. Did you enjoy that? Now, probably what happened is initially when you closed your eyes, you thought of a bunch of random thoughts and they didn't make any sense. Maybe some things were coming in that really didn't fit there. Sometimes when I close my eyes, I see all kinds of interesting images that don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about or listening to. But hopefully, after a little while, those images kind of settled down and meaningful images started to show up. Like, aha, that business idea I had, or that vacation I had, or that person I need to tell something to, or something started to develop, or maybe a series of things. When you let your imagination run wild, you often come up with ideas that you will not access if you're beating your head against the wall, if you're trying to figure something out. That's not as effective, usually, as just letting your mind run wild, because eventually your mind is going to settle down and is going to start giving you information that you can actually use. So I hope you use this exercise not only in this program, but outside of it as well. Between astrology, numerology, and tarot, and your intuition, you can have a winning combination. So start using your knowledge today. Get your book as a reference. Start using your knowledge. Start reading people's tarot cards. Get your tarot deck if you haven't already. And start getting into trusting your intuition. Because a big part of what tarot teaches is trusting yourself. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding life.